Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Thank you for joining us today for our trends article. Today we are talking about some popular tourism trends. Now, I don't know about you, but I enjoy traveling, and there are a lot of different reasons why someone might travel. But before we get into our article, allow me to introduce my friends in the studio. To my right, I have one of my really good friends. How are you doing, Amanda?
Good. It's good to be here, Campbell, with you today.
Yeah. Now, Amanda, you're the one that kind of chose this article to put in this magazine, right? So can you give us why, tell us why you chose this article?
Because I think I've been seeing the trend amongst my own friends where they have been doing these things that we're going to discuss today more and more compared to the traditional methods of tourism.
Right. Okay. Do you enjoy traveling?
I do. I love traveling.
Where have you been?
Well, I suppose all over. Because my parents are European, I've been to Europe. Being from New Zealand, I've definitely been to Australia, been to America, Canada, around Asia, different countries in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't really touched Africa or South America.
Is your goal to go to every continent?
No, not intentionally, but it is kind of happening that way.
It would be fun. It would be fun.
Yes.
All right, and we have two of our interns here. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, all right, we've got Michelle here. Michelle, can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Hi, so my name's Michelle. I'm from Seattle. I'm going to be attending the University of Washington in the fall. Very excited to be here.
Yes, so our avid listeners will know that Doris is from Seattle, right? So Michelle is from Doris' hometown, and Doris loves that.
Doris is
so excited about having a Seattleite here. So it's great to have you here. Seattle's also the home of Starbucks,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Do you drink a lot of Starbucks?
Yeah, I do drink a lot of Starbucks. Yeah.
All right, cool. And we have Edith here. How are you, Edith?
Good. It's really nice to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am from Los Angeles, and I came here for interning here, and I enjoyed coming to visit in Taiwan.
Well, good. Well, it's great to have you guys here. Do you guys enjoy traveling?
Yes,
definitely. Yes.
Have you guys been to a lot of places?
No, I only go close by my home in the same place. Like, I go to New York sometimes, and I just go to Taiwan.
Okay. New York's not that close to LA.
Yeah.
No, that is still within the United States, though.
True.
Yeah.
Same country.
Yeah, I love New York. I mean, I'm from New York, so it's a great city. And we have a lot of different reasons why we travel, right? And the beginning of our article does talk about business and pleasure. But lately, there have been some other reasons that people are traveling. So let's get into our article and see what those reasons are. Our article is on page 30 of your October Advanced magazine. So if you do have your magazine, please do open to page 30, or you can join us on your mobile device.
Popular tourism trends. Three surprising forms of tourism that are becoming increasingly popular. It seems business and pleasure are the only options travelers are given when defining the reasoning behind their trips. But motivations for travel aren't always so crystal clear. In fact, more and more travelers are going on pilgrimages to very specific destinations for reasons that don't fall anywhere near the classic brackets of leisure or work-related. 1. Food tourism. Pop quiz time! Have you obsessively documented a trip by dutifully gramming every beautifully presented quince tart tatin, honey-drizzled fried chicken platter, or salty egg-topped papaya salad you've encountered? Have you ever decided where to vacation based, at least partially, on the area's local cuisine or eateries? Then you might just be part of the growing sector of travelers known as food tourists. When deciding where to go for their next trip, travelers are increasingly factoring in a potential destination's food scene, whether it's the local restaurants and food trucks or the nearby farms and markets, food artisans or vineyards. Hardcore food and vino lovers are often more interested in exploring a city or region's gastronomic offerings than they are in the area's natural or non-food-based cultural attractions.
All right, let's get into our article. So we start off saying that it seems business and pleasure are the only options travelers are given when defining the reasoning behind their trips. So basically, every time you leave home, someone is always going to ask you, well, why are you going, right? Mm-hmm. The first question is, where are you going? Second question is always, why are you going? Yeah. And up till now, for the most part, people either travel for business, right? They're going there for a job, or they're doing it for pleasure. It's their vacation time. They're going just to relax or have fun. But lately, there have been some new trends, right? And it says here that motivations for travel aren't always so crystal clear. What does that mean? What does it mean when something is crystal clear?
It means that it's very easy to understand. Crystal clear meaning it's very clear to see what the reason or the understanding of something is. It's so clear, it's crystal clear. Like crystal is very easy to see through, right?
Right, yes.
And so, it means that it's easy to understand.
Right. So what we're saying here is that sometimes the reason for traveling isn't always so easy to define.
Right.
It's not so easy to describe. And in fact, more and more travelers are going on pilgrimages. Now, when we're talking about pilgrimages, what are we talking about?
We're talking about when people take journeys to certain places.
Mm-hmm, right. So people might take pilgrimages back to their holy land, right? Long journeys back to places where they feel are very special. Mm-hmm. And here we're talking about journeys. And they're taking these journeys to very specific destinations for reasons that don't necessarily fall easily into either leisure or work, right?
Right. I think a lot of people in the past, you know, traditional tourism is where people are going somewhere, you know, to see either museums or landmarks or just the scenery of a location. And that's what we would call the classic brackets or the classic boundaries of traditional tourism. But it's not so clear. Those classic brackets or boundaries are not so defined anymore.
Right. So they're not just going either to see these museums or these tourist sites. And they're not necessarily going for work either, right? So but what are these reasons? Well, before we get into our reason number one, let's talk about this idea of tourism. What is tourism exactly?
Tourism is when one person travels and they want to go see new places, learn things, and try some food from that place as
Right, yeah, and we see the word tour in here. It's usually when we go on a tour, we explore a new place, and it is a big industry in many places. Mm-hmm. Some places, that is the only industry, right? Especially in the Caribbean. I know a lot of those islands there, that is the only industry they have. They don't have any type of other kind of maybe manufacturing or other thing that any other industry that brings money into the country. They are solely dependent on tourism. And tourism is a big industry. A lot of people make money off of this tourism industry, and a lot of people give money. We all give money towards tourism because we enjoy traveling.
I think many countries are realizing that tourism is a great industry because it doesn't affect the it doesn't affect the resources of your country.
Right.
You know, you're not losing forests or things that might hurt the environment. In fact, we hope that tourism actually helps the environment.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of places are trying to figure out how to bring foreigners or outsiders to their city or to their country, and that as they come and they spend money and they visit the places, that kind of helps the economy, right? So tourism is a big deal, and there have been some new trends in tourism. Number one is food tourism. Right? And it says pop quiz time. So it's kind of just a little, it's just a fun way to say, okay, quick question, right? Mm-hmm. So have you obsessively documented a trip by dutifully gramming every beautifully presented quinstatin? All right. When I saw this word gramming, I had no idea what he was talking about. I think I'm showing my age here. Okay, our two younger panelists here, maybe Amanda, since you are more up-to-date on the trends, can explain what gramming is.
I think I'll leave it to our younger members. What is gramming, ladies?
So gramming stems from the word Instagram, which is a popular social media site many young people like to use today in which they take pictures of their food and such and share with their friends and family to kind of keep them updated on what's going on and where they're traveling.
Right. So we see that in English and many languages, they're an evolving entity, right? Language does not stay the same. Gramming is kind of a relatively new word, I feel like.
It is.
Definitely a word I didn't know, not because it's too hard. It's just I don't gram, I guess. I'm not up to the trends. Kind of like the word Google, right? When Google came out, it became a verb, right? I Googled myself, or I Googled the information. Now, gramming is now apparently a verb.
Yeah.
So, gramming means to use Instagram, as Michelle said, to post pictures. So, dutifully gramming every beautifully presented quinstatin. Have you guys done that?
Yeah.
Taking
yeah.
pictures of your food. You know, I read an article, I think last year, where we were saying, like, the average eating time has extended. Why? Because everybody always stops and takes a picture of their food before they eat. You know, it used to be you go in, the food comes, you eat, and you're out, right?
Right.
Now everybody stops and takes a picture, and then they spend time, like, you know, creating the perfect collage. Everybody's smiling because you know you've done it, right? Yes, it's true. So I've done it too, so we all gram, we all kind of take records of the food we're eating, right? And here we have a specific dish here called the quinstatin. What is a quinstatin?
Well, that is good that you asked, because we did make it a specialized term. It is an upside-down pastry, which is a pear, in which a pear-shaped fruit, which is the quince part, the quince is pear-shaped fruit, is caramelized in butter and sugar before the tart is baked. So basically, it's this pear-shaped fruit on pastry.
Can we just take a break? Because I'm kind of hungry. All right. Well, quinstatin does sound delicious. We also have honey-drizzled fried chicken. Or salty egg-topped papaya salad.
Okay.
My mouth is watering. All right. Maybe I will do some food tourism. All right. So food tourism basically is the idea of deciding where to vacation based, at least partially, on the food that is in that area. And we live in Taipei and Taiwan, and Taiwan is known for its food, right? There's a lot of delicious food here in Taiwan. Have you guys gotten to experience some of the Taiwanese food?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, what's your favorite so far?
We've tried Noroumian, which is like
Beef noodles.
Yes. And it was so good.
Yes, yeah. That is definitely a popular Taiwanese dish. All right, Michelle, what about you?
Around the office area, there's actually a couple
wonton
places, and that's been really good too, for sure.
How about stinky tofu?
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, you guys are American, but you guys like stinky tofu. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
When I first came to Taipei, I did not like stinky tofu. I thought it was the worst thing ever, but now I love it. I think it's amazing.
It grew on you.
It grew on me. Yeah. So people travel to places to eat, basically. And these people are known as food tourists.
Yes.
Have you guys ever done food tourism? Like gone to a place just to eat?
Yes, for sure. Because I'm from Seattle, my family will sometimes drive up to Canada. And It's funny because we'll go through the border security.
You need to bring your passport.
Yes, of course. Bring your passport.
So you bring your passport just for dinner. That's funny.
Yeah. They ask you what your reason is for going to Canada, and you just have to say, oh, we're just eating lunch or eating dinner. And they're like, oh, that's strange. But
it's, well, I'm sure they're used to it. I'm sure you're not the only ones. That's,
for
that's
sure.
funny.
Yeah.
You know, to live so close to another country that you just, like, drive, like, 20, 30 minutes and you're in another country. That's fun. All right. So a lot of people, when deciding where to go for their next trip, are increasingly factoring in, which just means they're considering the fact of the food. Like, what kind of food are they going to be able to eat? And they're counting that as part of their trip. Right, and so we have some examples here. The local restaurants and food trucks. Have any of you eaten from a food truck before?
Yes, in New York, there's a famous one called Halal Guys.
Mm.
That one, they opened a store in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and it actually, I haven't tried it, but I mean to try it.
Maybe when you go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll take a trip to New York to eat from Halal Guys. So food trucks is basically what it sounds like. It's a truck that serves food. It's kind of like this mobile restaurant.
Right.
Right. People go and they'll buy food from the truck, and the truck will move to different places,
mm-hmm.
depending on where business is good. And nearby farms and markets. And we have an interesting term here, food artisan. What is a food artisan?
Basically, it's a food artist. Artisan is from the word art, and it's a person, here in this case, a person or an artist that is using food to express their art.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So visiting these local food artisans and or vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it says hardcore food and vino lovers. First, what does it mean when you're a hardcore or something? Like if you're a hardcore movie fanatic, what does that mean?
It means you're really passionate about something. You're really into whatever the activity or whatever the thing is.
Are you a hardcore something?
I'd say sometimes I can be a hardcore dancer.
Mm-hmm. What kind of dance?
I do tap, jazz, ballet, lyrical, hip-hop.
We'll need to talk. I love that stuff. Okay, cool. Yeah, I am a hardcore Broadway fan and a hardcore father, I guess, because I love my family. So hardcore just means you are really, really dedicated. You're very passionate about it. So these people are passionate about food and vino. What is vino?
Vino is wine.
That's right. So it's just another word for wine. So they love food and wine. And they're often more interested in what?
Exploring a city or region's gastronomic offerings. So that word gastronomic is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So we put it in our vocabulary focus. It just means relating to good food.
That's right. So another term might be a foodie, right? F-O-O-D-I-E. If you are a hardcore food and vino lover, or if you are really interested in gastronomic offerings, we can call you a foodie.
Mm.
And a lot of these people are more interested in the food and the wine that they can taste rather than the area's natural or non-food-based cultural attractions. And this is kind of what Amanda was talking about earlier, right? So they'd rather eat than go to a museum.
Right.
Right.
Or see a landmark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like my kind of trip. All right. Let's finish up our article. We are going to start on line 9 of column 2 and then go to the end of the article.
Travelers on food sabbaticals might be set on going on a mission to find the best key lime pie in southern Florida or navigating backwoods highways in Quebec to come across a classic Canadian roadside sugar shack. The Ontario Culinary Tourism Alliance, OCTA, defines food tourism as any tourism experience in which one learns about, appreciates and or consumes food and drink that reflects the local, regional, or national cuisine, heritage, and culture. According to a 2015 report published by OCTA, and Skift, a travel news site. In 2012, it was estimated that tourism expenditures on food services in the U.S. topped $201 billion, nearly a quarter of all travel income. Because, honestly, show us the traveler who doesn't want to eat and drink their way through a vacation.
So travelers on food sabbaticals might be set on going on a mission to find the best key lime pie in southern Florida. I love key lime pie. Do you guys eat key lime pie?
Not a lot.
Yeah,
what?
Not a lot.
Oh my gosh.
What is
you guys
key lime
are missing
pie?
Out. It's a pie, but it's lemon flavored pie.
Oh, it's lemon flavored.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, because Florida is from there's the Florida Keys, right? It's a place, and I guess the limes there are different, and so the pie is, it's really good. I love key lime pie.
Okay.
All right, so travelers on food sabbaticals, we have another vocabulary-focused word here. What is a sabbatical, Michelle?
A sabbatical is a period of time when college or university teachers are allowed to stop their usual work in order to study or travel, usually while continuing to be paid. So these people are taking time out of their work schedule to go do whatever, to travel.
Right, and in this case, to eat.
Yeah.
Right? So they're going on a sabbatical to basically eat, and they have a mission to find the best key lime pie, or a mission to find some really good food,
mm-hmm.
right? And here we have another example, navigating backwoods highways in Quebec to come across a classic Canadian roadside sugar shack. Now, when I see this sentence, I just picture these roads that are just winding through forests,
mm-hmm.
right? And to this out-of-the-way kind of small shop. And what is a sugar shack exactly?
Well, sugar shack are little cabins that where the sap that has been collected from maple trees mm-hmm. is collected. So sap is just the liquid that comes out of the trees. That's
right.
What becomes maple syrup, right?
And
these little shacks are where they store the sap, and then they cook the sap to make it become maple syrup.
Right, and I'm sure they sell a lot of maple syrup products, right? The
yeah.
syrup and the waffles and cookies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Delicious stuff. All right, so we have a definition of what food tourism is here. Edith, can you read that to us? What is the definition that the OCTA gives us on food tourism?
Food tourism is any tourism experience in which one learns about, appreciates, and or consumes food and drinks that reflects the local or regional or national cuisine, heritage, and culture.
Right. Okay. So going to a specific place and eating the local food, right? And I think most places have a kind of food that you can only get there,
mm-hmm,
right?
And, mm-hmm.
Or maybe you can get it other places, but that's where it originated.
Right.
And you want to go to the original source of that food. For example, Chinese food is everywhere, right? And I'm sure you can get a lot of Niro Man all over the world. But if you want the best noodles, right, the beef noodles, you come to Taiwan.
Beef noodles is beef noodles.
Yes, right. Or the, you know, the xiaolongbao, which is, you know, I love my, you know, the soup dumplings, right? So what are the local foods in your area? And more people are starting to tap into this food tourism, right? In the past, when you opened a restaurant, you're kind of just thinking about serving food. But mm-hmm. have you ever, you know, I don't think a lot of people thought, you know, well, maybe my restaurant can be a tourist stop.
Right.
But now there's this trend. And eventually what could happen is your restaurant could be so popular, it becomes a tourist destination. It becomes a place where people will travel just to go to.
Yeah, not the actual place,
right.
But your restaurant.
Exactly, right? You know, just like people might go to Paris to see the Eiffel Tower, right? But one day, if you own a restaurant and it becomes so popular and so good, someone might just go to your city just because they want to go to your restaurant and to eat your food. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2012, it was estimated that tourism expenditures, which just means the money spent on tourism, on food services in the U.S. tops how much?
$201 billion.
I don't know if I'll ever earn $201 billion in my life. That's a lot of money, right? And nearly a quarter of all travel income. So 25% of the money spent on traveling was spent on food. Does that sound surprising to you guys?
I was quite surprised. I mean, I know we like to eat food, but I didn't realize it was a quarter.
Right.
That's a lot.
I mean, if you think about it, most of us eat about 3 meals a day. You know, you buy snacks and drinks and all that stuff. So it does add up. It does add up. And I love this last sentence here. It says, because honestly, show us the traveler who doesn't want to eat and drink their way through a vacation. How does that sound to you guys? Would you like to eat and drink through a vacation?
Yes.
Yeah, but we have to be sure that we're also exercising too, right? You don't want to be gaining your 10, 15 pounds at the end of your vacation either.
Then you've got to go on a different kind of tours.
Yeah, so, you know, usually we want good souvenirs like postcards and T-shirts. We don't want extra pounds or extra weight on our body as a souvenir. But hey, you know, if you get to eat and drink and enjoy your vacation, why not, right?
Why not?
All right. Well, we have some other tourism trends to discuss in the rest of this article, but we'll do that tomorrow. Please do come back and join us then. Until then, we say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.